Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to gather around thy word in this afternoon. As we can come together as a brotherhood with our families, our children, our friends from far and near, Lord, we have assembled and we look to thee, Lord, that thou would be our only teacher, that thou would speak to us, that thou would show us, O Lord, reveal thy will to us and show us who thou art, that we would look to obey thee and to serve thee and to give us and to give thee our hearts. We pray for blessing upon the reading and the meditation of thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, I've turned and desire to read with God's help from a lengthy chapter from 1 Kings, chapter number 20. You'll read with God's help. 1 Kings, chapter number 20. Ljubav za želje se pročita iz prve knjige Carevima, 20. glava. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city and said unto them, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine in all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the house of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messenger departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array, and they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes and the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and his kings, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. Or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots, and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the pitched went over against the other 7 days. And it was so that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. And the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from your father, I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, In the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, Thy servant went out in the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. May God. There was, we read in this chapter, an account of a time, at this time, the kingdom of Israel was already divided. The northern kingdom was the 10 tribes. They were named Israel, and then the southern two tribes were Judah. They had already been divided, and the king of the northern tribes was King Ahab. We know King Ahab to be a king that did not do God's will. He was a king that had gone into serving Baal, serving other gods. And it's because of the sins of the kings, not only the kings, but the sins of the people as well, that God had allowed other nations to come in to show them that their trust cannot be in themselves. It has to be in God Almighty, the living God. Not in their false gods that they're turning to and worshiping, but no, into that they would put their trust in Him. And we find here in this portion that the king Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he's going to make an assault on the northern tribes. And he sends to Ahab the word. He says, hey, everything that you have, it's mine. And King Ahab, knowing that Syria is a mighty, mighty power, and he numbers his nation and he knows they cannot win, he thinks that he just means you're going to be a vassal. You're going to be a subordinate under me. So in other words, carry on as you were, but everything that you have is mine. And he readily agreed. Okay, fine. And he said, no, I'm going to send my men and I'm going to take everything. Everything that is good, that you think is good, I'm going to take it. Now he sees what the king Ben-Hadad really means. And so he gets together with his men. He said, you know, what are we going to do? I gave in to his first demand. Now he's saying that demand is he wants everything. And he's going to come and take it away from me. And they advise him to don't do it. Don't give in. And so in that time, Ahab then, or Ben-Hadad, decides that he will make an attack on the Israelites. And God is telling, now keep in mind here, this is Ahab, an evil king. So in this chapter, we see, dear ones, the justice of God, but we also see the mercy of God. We heard this morning how God cannot allow sin in His presence. He is just. He is holy. And so we see a God who is just and who is holy. But that God is a fearful God. He is a God that if He is only just and holy, none of us would have a chance. But He is a God of mercy. And see, He shows Ahab, a king who is evil, who is serving other gods, He is, again, calling him back to Him. This is the God who says, I love you, Ahab, despite who you are, despite the fact that you ignore me, despite the fact that you ignore my commandments, despite the fact of all this, I love you. I'm calling you back. I'm going to show you that the power is in me. And so he tells them, I'm going to be with you. He says, and Ahab's question, well, who's going to lead the charge? He says, you will. And Ahab, now being emboldened, he goes and he finds Ben-Hadad and his men are all drunk. They're all partying and enjoying life. They're not ready to do war. They're not ready for the battle. And they go up against them and they smite them and they slay them. They run away. The king runs away. But they go after them all. And then in verse 22, dear ones, we get a prophet that comes to King Ahab now. This is the God of mercy. And this is the God who wants Ahab to learn something now. He says, the prophet comes to the king of Israel, to Ahab, and he says to him, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. Go now. Mark, consider what you were doing, serving Baal, doing and not adhering to my commandments. See what you're doing, but strengthen yourself. No longer go into those things. I've shown you who I am, and that all of your strength is in me. However, you have to listen to me. You have to obey me. Mark, and see what thou doest. Examine yourselves. Look at what you're doing. Are you following my commandment? Because, he says, at the return of the year, the king of Samaria is coming back after you. He's going to regroup, and he's coming after you. So don't go serving Baal again. I showed you all the strength is in me. So we see that the servants of the king of Syria now come to the king, to Ben-Hadad, and they said, the reason we lost this battle is because the Israelite God, he's a God of the hills. He's a God of the mountains. He's a hill God. But let's fight him on the plains, in the valleys, where it's straight. They're ours. Because their God is not the God of the valleys. He's a God of the hills. So let's take him on the plains. They don't have a chance. And so they come together, and we see that the children of Israel, when he gathered the army together, he said it's just as strong as the previous army. And we see that there's 127,000 that were killed in the previous war. And it says here that the children of Israel numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. That's how they were in compared to this mighty army that was before them. They're like a couple of little flocks of goats in comparison to the enemy that is coming after them. Isn't that who we are? When we stand on our own strength, we're like a couple of little kids of flocks of kids of goats when we go up against the enemy of our souls. We're nothing. He will devour us. But the Lord is showing the battle is his. It's not mine, it's not yours, it's not Israel's. The battle is his. And so they come together. And Ahab is told that the Syrians told the king Ben-Hadad that the reason they lost is because your God is the God of the hills. And because of this, I will show them also who I am. I will show them that I am not a God of the hills. I'm a God of the valleys. I'm a living God. I'm a God of all. And I will show them what they didn't see in their first lesson. I will teach them again who I am. And it says the children of Israel slew the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But Ahab does something. Ben-Hadad got away. And Ben-Hadad now hears from his men that, hey, I heard that the God of Israel is a God of mercy. Well, he said the Israelites, the king is merciful. And so let's just go and beg for your life. Okay, he has no other way out. So he goes and he begs for his life. And he sees Ahab. And it says here that the men were really looking to hear what is the response going to be from Ahab. So he called them my brother. Well, that means they're ready to sign a peace treaty. And so now they're excited with the prospect that, hey, he's going to spare our life. And so Ben-Hadad now comes to him. And he tells him here. And Ben-Hadad promises, I'm going to give you everything. You're allowed to come into the Samaria or into my city, into Damascus, and to... You can make streets there and you can do whatever you want. Just like my dad did, you're now allowed to do in my country. We're going to have a peace agreement. Because you're going to save my life. And so He spares Ben-Hadad's life. Ahab does. And so now the story turns to a prophet that is going to be sent, just like Nathan was sent to admonish or to show David his sin. So now a prophet is being sent to Ahab to show him what he has done. And this prophet turns to another of his neighbors, which is probably another prophet, and he says, smite me. In other words, hit me, wound me, because I want to present. He didn't say, explain it. He just told him, wound me, and he refused. And for that, he says that you will give your you will die for that because you refused to obey the voice of the Lord. Again, it's a refusal of obeying the voice of the Lord. And so he finds another man. He says, smite me. So he did, and he wounded him. So then this man comes now, and he, the prophet goes and he waits for the king, and he disguises himself with ashes upon his face, and the king comes by, and he tells him a story. He says, I was in the midst of the battle, and suddenly a man comes to me, and he brings me a prisoner. And he tells me, watch him. Watch this prisoner. He says, if he's missing, if he escapes, you're going to pay with your life. He gave him a charge to watch the prisoner. Don't let him escape. That was a commandment. Keep this man, if by any man means, by any means, he be found missing, then shall that life be for his life. And so he goes on, he says, and as thy servant was busy, and this is really a description of us, isn't it? He says, thy servant was busy here and there. Here and there. That's what it says. He's gone. He escaped. I wasn't watching. What's my excuse? I was just busy here and there. And so Ahab, just like David, told Nathan, that man will surely die that did that. So the king, Ahab, tells him, well, you received a commandment. You disobeyed it. He says, so shall your judgment be. Thyself has decided it. You decided your own judgment. Why? Because you didn't obey the commandment that you received. Ahab knows what to tell him. You brought this upon yourself. You brought this judgment upon yourself. You were given a commandment. You disobeyed. You were busy here and there, and you let this man escape. You decided it. I'm not going to decide that. You're deciding it. And that's when he told him, he uncovered himself, took his ashes away from his face, and immediately the Ahab recognized and discerned him that he was one of the prophets. He told him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life and thy people for his people. Ahab is brought back twice. God shows himself mighty in battle. Twice he was given commandments. He's disobedient. And he was given a warning. Mark what you're doing. Remember what you've done in the past. And don't do those things anymore. Serve me. I'm a living God. Don't go back to Baal. Follow me. Dear ones, we were warned in this morning in the reading and meditation of watching. Watch. This parable that this prophet told Ahab is really what each one of us need to consider in our own lives. We have all, and mark now what the king is being told here. He didn't say, "I didn't know that if he would escape, that my life would be taken from me. I didn't know." No, he knew. He knew. He knew the king's, the master's will. But he was busy here and there. So, in other words, there was something that made that which is primary, and a command that is primary, the one to be obeyed, the one not to be challenged, the command that is to be adhered to, the one that is to be followed through to at all costs, became secondary. It became secondary, and what became primary? What became primary? I was busy here and there. It doesn't say that he did any sin. It doesn't say that he was out sinning grossly, murdering people, committing fornications and adulteries and idol worship. It just says, I was busy here and there. I didn't have time to obey. I was busy. I'm a busy man. I didn't have time. He didn't say I didn't know. Dear ones, you see, his excuse he gave was really no excuse at all. I know. He even said what he was commanded to do. He knows what he was commanded. But he allowed to be himself to be busy here and there. So, dear ones, how do we? You know, the fig tree was scorched by our Lord because it just had leaves. It just had leaves. The Lord tells us that a vine without any fruit is worthless. Do we see that our lives, no matter how we live them, no matter what we attain, here's a man who was a king of Israel. Here's a prophet telling a story of a man who was given a commandment and he disobeyed it and what it cost him. Life outside of the obedience of God is a life that is futile. Its end is an eternity without Christ. The end of that life, the end of your life, my dear friend, outside of Christ, where Christ's commandment is not primary in your life, you're destined to an eternity without Him. And Christ describes that eternity as a place that the fire is not quenched. What was the sin of the rich man when Lazarus was laying at his gate, begging for food, a beggar? What was his crime? What was the rich? Did the rich man go and chase him away and get a broom after him and whip him and get out of my property? No, he just passed by him. He ignored him. His duty, his privilege that he was given, the privilege that he was given to serve, was secondary. Primary was me. It's me. We heard that this morning. It's not just this generation. It's not just Generation Z, my young people here. It's not just you. That's in every human. The desire to live for me. Self-glory. Self, self, self. This man was busy here and there, for himself. It wasn't to follow the orders to do that which he was bidden to do, because that would take away from him. And so, dear ones, are we too busy just here and there? What is that busyness? It doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter. He's unjustified. The prisoner escaped. He turned around. He thought he was secure. You know, it's different if he said, I was overpowered. In this instance. But he said, I was just busy here and there. I knew what I received. I just didn't do it. What were the virgins, the five virgins, what were they guilty of? They were busy here and there. They didn't have oil in their lamps. They were too busy here and there to think about that which they were commanded to do. Watch. Be ready. Make sure your lamps are filled. Watch. That's our commandment. That's what we are given. How, dear ones, are we going to know the Lord's will for our lives? How are we going to know that unless we, what does it say in He says, in all of thy ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? That means there's no selfishness. There's nothing living for myself. In whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to acknowledge him. What Ahab refused to do, he says, mark what you're doing. Strengthen yourself. Be strengthened in the power of my might. Don't go back to what you were doing. Acknowledge me. And he says, and so we're being told here, in all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's how you will know his will, acknowledging him. When we acknowledge him in our lives, and when we look at what his word is calling us to, it's a life of service, it's a life of humility, it's a life of meekness, it's a life of love, it's a life of caring, it's a life of mercy, compassion, forgiveness, holiness, righteousness. That's the commandment. That's primary. There's no here being busy here and there that can trump that commandment. If it is, you will die. You will die in your sins. You will be in hell for eternity. You will be in an existence where there is no light. We live in a world right now. We can see God everywhere. You will be in eternity where there is no God. Why is the world as we see it? Why do we enjoy to live? We want to live. There's something that we look forward to. There's the goodness of God is all around us. He's everywhere. He's in the plants. He's in the mountains. He's in the valley. He's everywhere. But an eternity without him is utter darkness and fire, where the fire is not quenched. If we don't acknowledge him in all of our ways. But if I do, if I don't acknowledge him in all of my ways, how will I know what his path? How is he going to direct me into paths? I don't even know what those paths are, because I'm following me. I'm acknowledging my will. I'm acknowledging what I want, what was going to feel good for me for that moment. That's going to be too humiliating for me if I have to be the one to stop a confrontation. I'm not going to give in to you. No way. I'm not acknowledging him. I can't expect him to direct me now to know to put out that fire, to be compassionate, take the loss, allow that God would show the other his might in my meekness. That's lost upon not this generation, upon all mankind. That's lost upon all of us. None of us are, that's not who we are. That's what the new man is. That's what the acknowledgement of him in all of our ways will bring us to. It will bring us to knowing who we are and where our position is. And that every man was created to glorify him. Every man was created to glorify him, to acknowledge him and he's going to direct our ways and our paths. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways shall die. Why is that not, why doesn't that not just jolt us in our seats and say, whoa, what does that say? He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his soul. He that despiseth his ways shall die. Oh, I don't despise it. You're too busy going here and there. You're too busy there and there. You're not watching. I'm not watching. That means I'm despising of his ways. That means the commandment that I received is not primary in my life. Oh, it's there. I acknowledge. I acknowledge the law. I know what I'm being told. I'm just busy here and there. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time. The Lord understands I'm busy here and there. No, he doesn't. You haven't acknowledged him in all of his ways. You were created to worship him and you're not worshiping him. If we're too busy, dear ones, we will die. We will die. What is our Lord showing in this chapter? He's showing us his power, his might, his justice, his mercy. What is there that is not beautiful about him? What is there that we don't want? You know what it is? Me. Self. Self don't want him. We do not want him. And that's why I'm busy here and there. That's why I don't have time to acknowledge him in all of my ways. That's why the keeping of his commandments is secondary. It's not primary in my life. I will lose my way. I become as a vine that is worthless. Throw him into the fire. Bind it. Throw it into the fire. It's good for nothing. I'm good for nothing. Though his ways may be secondary. It may be secondary, meaning I'm acknowledging I am a Christian. I'm acknowledging his ways, but they're secondary. Primary is me. So when the primary commandment says take the loss, and I say no, his commandment is secondary. First is me, and then the commandment. What good is that? Doesn't any of us, if we had anything that wouldn't, if we had a dog and we could not master him, and he refuses to be, are we going to keep him? Why do we think that we don't want God to be our master, and he has to accept us on our terms? Ahab thought he could force himself to be accepted on his own terms. And he found out, no. And did he learn? No, he didn't learn. We see him in the next chapter as he covets Naboth's vineyard. We see him, Elijah, how he comes to him and so on. He continued until that which was prophesied was actually fulfilled. Why? The same thing that he knew what to tell this prophet who was disguised. He knew to tell him, your disobedience brought this judgment upon you. You did this. Don't blame the law. Don't blame the king. Don't blame the enforcer. Blame yourself. You knew what it was. You chose to be busy here and there and not to listen. That's the advice that Ahab's given. But he couldn't see it for himself. How quick are we to really know what the judgments are for you and you, but not for myself? I'm ready to overlook everything I do. I'm just busy here and there. You don't have the excuse I have. That's how we become. We don't acknowledge him in his ways. And so the Lord is calling us. He says, watch. What did we read this morning? He says, the first thing to do is seek the Lord. That's primary, my dear friends, outside of Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. Seek him, and it says, everything else will be added unto you. What does that mean? What is that everything else that you need? I don't know his ways. No. I don't know his past. No. He will show us. He will direct our paths when we acknowledge him. Dear ones, a heart that loves the Lord, that loves him, that has been born again, that lives for the Lord and not for self. He will know. He will know the paths of the Lord. Are we saying that we will cast ourselves before him and be lost and not know his will? Of course we're going to know. He will show us. That's why he says, be anxious in nothing. Be careful in nothing, he says, meaning don't be anxious about anything. That word anything is so all-encompassing. There's nothing that you can be worried about, anxious about. You can't. Why? Because you act as if you can change something. The only thing we need to be worried about is, am I watching? Am I doing his will? If I do that, dear one, everything else will take care of itself. He is the God who is mighty in battle. He will save my soul. He will show me, direct my path. He will give me life with him. That's who our God is. A God of love. A God of mercy. A God who is holy. A God who is just. Would you want any other God? Any other type of God would be a man. Are we going to say that man can be more merciful than God? Are we going to say that man is more just than God? Dear ones, as we leave today, we have to consider what Ahab was told. Mark, what you've been doing. I gave you victory. Mark what you've been doing. Don't return to those ways. Watch and pray. Watch. Don't be busy. What is it that I was busy in here? And does that mean now that I can be idle? No, of course. We know that laziness is probably one of the most grossest of sins. Being lazy? What does being lazy mean? Meaning that you take care of me. I don't want to do anything. You give me. I'm able. I can. I don't want to. You give. And you call that a Christian? You call that someone who wants to give himself to the Lord and is willing to be spent for his kingdom? We heard today, God needs us. He needs us to further his kingdom. He uses us to further his kingdom. If it's not going to be me or you, it's going to be someone else. But he will find someone that is willing if you are not. And so, dear ones, it's really just back to us. Is his commandment primary in my life, or is it secondary? If it's secondary, here's the thing. If it's secondary, it's not at all. It's not at all. You know, a man who was lazy all his life and didn't do anything and lived in the streets because he refused to work and do anything, and to his family, he might be even the black sheep. It's a shame. The family is ashamed of their son or brother or whatever. And then you have, on another hand, a man who is well-to-do, busy, full of energy, attaining, getting, working hard, getting wealthy. No God, no God. Eternity is the same. But we're trained somehow to believe that this man is worse. Every man outside of Christ is simply lost. And so for all of us, dear ones, let's acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our path. Amen.
The Lord brought two reminders to Ahab in this chapter. And the simple message was a command and expectation of obedience. A few chapters before, Ahab observed the prophets of Baal cutting themselves and screaming around a sacrifice, waiting for fire to come from a false god. Sorely disappointed, they observed a man of faith simply bowing his head and saying a few words, but trusting in the living God, and see his power made manifest. Two different ways, one very spectacular and another very simple. And I am in awe that the Lord is merciful and extends reminders time and time again. If there's any question, what should I do? I don't know how to handle this obscure case, or if what if these combination of things happen to me? What am I going to do? How am I going to? Forget it. I'll just give up. No. Keep it very simple. Do you know how you would like to be treated by others? Do it to the others. Do it to each other. You know at least that. The simple things that we know, commit them to the Lord. Ask for His help to do it. Ponder things that keep me busy, that are keeping me from a closer walk with the Lord and knowing Him more. Maybe even write them down and allow the Lord to remove them from your life. Put a limit to those things. Simple, straightforward, and clear. But above all, Jesus said to His disciples, "If I go and prepare a place for you," as we heard about this morning, "and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" How can we know where to go? Where to find rest for our souls from this busy world? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There it is. Believe it and embrace it. Love Jesus Christ. He is on His way to the cross at this point. Thomas said before, "Let us go and die with Him." Let's have that willingness. Let's go and give our lives for the Lord. And God bless His word.